Greetings and welcome to As You Wish Talk Radio on BBS. We've got a great show tonight. I want to do a little housekeeping first. Don't forget to go to our site at eSETI.org or events.eSETI.com and check out what's happening there. We've got some amazing conferences coming up. We've had the Science, Spirit, and World Transformation Conference or the eSETI Conference coming up. We have some awesome speakers, and one is here with me today. We've got, look at the lineup there. It's going to be amazing. We've got ships flying like crazy through the skies up here, all kinds of paranormal things happening. It's just amazing. And where can you go to have a conference where you can walk out the door and watch UFOs? So we had quite a few last night. And just the other night before, we had one come in really early. It wasn't even dark yet. It was huge. And it went north towards the mountain. It definitely wasn't the space station, but it actually was bigger than the space station. And we've actually filmed the space station with ships flying right in front of it. And you're not going to hear about that. You know, so it's kind of interesting. But there's so much going on here. We've got the Soltech conference. And we just got back from contact in the desert too, which was just amazing. It was quite an endeavor there. We had crazy things happen. We got locked out of our hotel from the inside, which the guy said is pretty much impossible. He couldn't figure out how it happened. And we had these weird footprints and handprints on our window on the sixth floor. So pretty crazy stuff going on, not to mention all the other clearing we had to do while we were there. But a great lineup there, too. Hung out with J.J. Hertak and Michael Tellinger and some of my good friends and talked about the future. And we've got some great ideas coming up. So stay tuned. I think that's about it for housekeeping. And I want to bring my guest on. We've got Mary Rodwell, and she's with the CERN. She's from Australia, and she's also with FREE, Edgar Mitchell's. She's the co-founder of FREE, Edgar Mitchell's program there. And she's got her fingers in all kinds of things. She does a lot of work with children. She's doing a Young Masters conference here right now. And boy, I want to cover up what some of these young masters are saying, because, you know, that's where you're going to get the truth. You know, unfortunately, we'll cover this, but the UFO community is scattered. It's so scattered, you know, to get the real truth, you got to get it from the kids. And Mary's one of the pioneers of that work and probably one of the people that I actually look up to in the UFO community. So there's very few people, I hate to say it, that I think that are coming from the heart and are really bringing out the information. So without any further ado, welcome to the show.
James, it's an absolute pleasure, and it's wonderful to be back in this setting. I was here, as you know, in 2010.
Yeah.
And it's just so beautiful to meet the team and to meet everyone here. It's just like a family, and it is a brilliant place to come, even if you just want to chill out and be with people that get you, I think.
Of like mind, yeah. It's that's what I know. Brooks Agnew said that. He said, you know, when I told him, I said, when I woke up, I became an alien. I didn't have anybody to talk to. So so I created this place where we could all be aliens. And he says, you know, he said, Brooks Agnew said, you know, he said, we're the aliens. This is where we're all gathering to remember our roots. And I like that. But you know, there's so many directions we can go. One of the directions I want to go and kind of get this out of the way is, and then I want to really get into the children and what's happening there, is that you said something to me earlier about the UFO community, and it's very powerful what you're saying. And one was the women have been kind of squeezed out of there, and the people that are coming from the heart and working from a more spiritual level and things like that. And just what's going on. And, you know, you said some things, I don't want to take away from you, but about how we have to get over it. Yeah, they're here. Like, what's next? But I'd like to hear your comments on that.
Well, it's a really important one. And I talk to a lot of women in ufology. And most of the time, if anyone goes to the bigger UFO conferences, you'll notice that probably 90% are the males that are doing ufology, and there's, you know, there's usually a token female or a couple of females in it. And it's, you know, I'm not decrying what has been important and why, you know, a lot of men have got involved with it. I think it's a very masculine thing in many ways, because it's tangible. You see the craft, you can touch it, feel it in another kind of way. You can look for, you know, witnesses, all this kind of very 3D solid side that I think appeals to the male psyche. But the thing is, the ones that are having the experiences that can tell you more about the beings in the craft, why they're visiting us, what it's all about, why them, all those kinds of things often is left to the women that are doing the therapy or supporting or listening. And this is really what saddens me about ufology when I look at it, is when you hear what they have to say over 70 or 80 years at least. Yes, they're real. They're out there. Big deal, guys. We know that now. And even, you know, it's everywhere. But why are they here? And you only get that if you talk to the people having the experiences. But still, there's this real concern. Oh, well, are they really experiences? Is it, you know, are they sure you're not imagining it? And all this still comes out after all this time knowing it's real. Mm-hmm. And that's where we want one. You know, Roswell's important and Rendlesham Forest is important. But, you know, it was a long time ago, guys. Yeah. We're now in 2018. What's happened since?
Yeah, I agree. I just wonder, you know, they get all twisted up about this. Whenever you try to talk about higher dimensional things, the spiritual aspect of it, that we also might be multidimensional beings beyond this body and this personality, and you start going into any of that stuff, all of a sudden you just get shoved aside, shoved under the carpet. And a lot of the women that they do allow to speak are just talking nuts and bolts. Those only ones that they'll let come out. They won't let the people that really do know what's going on, that have contact with spiritually and technologically advanced beings. There's a big lid on that. Why do you think they're putting such a lid on that?
Well, let's get into conspiracy theories here. It's the same way that we've got the lid on human experience on this planet. Unless you can touch it, feel it, see it, smell it, et cetera, et cetera, it's not real. And it's still part of what we call, you know, the way that we look at this paradigm. And only slowly are we being allowed to be multidimensional, allowed perhaps to see spirits or energy or whatever. And slowly people are saying, oh, well, maybe that's real after all. But it's still very much, you know, well, let's talk about consciousness. And really, this is what this is all about anyway, is about human consciousness and the fact that when finally psychology and psychiatry stops labeling people that are having multidimensional experiences and owns the fact that we're multidimensional in nature.
Yeah, I agree. It just seems like they're cutting their nose off to spite their face. I mean, they act like they're trying to bring this information out, but they're the biggest censors. I mean, they're censoring their own community, and there's so much competition and backstabbing. And I know Robert Dean talked a lot about that, how, and even Art Bell, you know, bless his soul, he's gone now. He talked about how, you know, people in the UFO community eat their young, you know, it's like, and I have to agree with them. And now this is what really gets me. I've been here 32 years. Like, we've had contact the whole time. We have the footage, undeniable footage, treetop level stuff. We have the metallic craft with the antennas on them. Thousands upon thousands of witnesses. The video, the photographs, triple PhD, Boeing engineers, Skunk Works guys, Lockheed engineers, Air Force base commanders, all testifying that this is real. And where is the UFO community? I mean, a good majority of them won't even come here. It's amazing. And then we're branded as, you know, like hippies or whatever. I don't know, like we're on drugs or something like that. And I hear some people say stuff like that. Actually, we have a drug-free zone here. There's no drugs allowed on the property. But it's just hilarious watching this thing. And I said, what is wrong with these things? And then I start to ask the question, are we ready for contact? No wonder they're not contacting the masses, because, you know, if they're going to allow this to continue, then maybe contact, I don't know what to say. I don't want to say maybe contact is not viable, but I know they are contacting people that are conscious, that are service oriented, and that are awake, and they are the ones with the real information, but they just don't get the podium. They don't get the press. Yes. You know?
Well, they don't get the podium just yet, but yeah. What you've noticed, I know you've noticed it, and I have too, in the last few years, and whether or not you think 2012 happened or not, I believe something definitely happened then. And it's when so many people have come to me in recent years and said something happened around 2012 or 2000 where everything in my life changed. and I went down a completely different direction. And it was some significant event. And it may not be seeing a UFO necessarily. It may be because I had a near-death experience or an out-of-body experience or a shamanic mm-hmm. experience or working with energy and suddenly something shifted. That's been happening over the last few years exponentially. Mm-hmm. And I've had numerous people say a few years ago, I'd have just thought this was cuckoo.
Yeah.
And now my whole life has changed mm-hmm. and everything has changed in it. And changing to the extent that, you know, I'm meeting scientists now, lawyers, doctors, nurses, social workers, all saying, I don't see the world in the same way anymore. Mm-hmm. And this is not going to be stopped by ufologists that say, I don't want to go there anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, really get over it. Because yes. whether you like it or not, the experience somebody has with these beings is multidimensional mm-hmm. and is telepathic. It's sensing, feeling, and that is real. And it's just as real as that spaceship that you want to touch.
Yeah. And what's interesting here is that we get a telepathic message. They tell us when and where they're going to appear. We have the cameras rolling. Danny Dyer did it. Paranormal State mm-hmm. did it. Robbie Williams, when he came out, did it. Even Jay Leno's crew came up here and they got it. They got the footage.
Yeah.
Over and over, we've done this redundantly. At what point do you say, well, wait a second, maybe contact's already happening and we're just not looking in the right places for this. And when I saw that Texas poll, when they had that wave of UFOs over Texas, they did a poll on the mainstream news and 99% of the people said they believe in UFOs and that, you know, there is a government yeah. cover up. So, the cover-up has failed,
yeah.
and now yeah. how they used to all giggle at us mm-hmm. for talking about this, now they're all giggling at the news people that are avoiding it and the shills and the disinformation people. Now they're in the minority, and everybody's laughing at them, you know, just – and, you know, they're exposing their own character and their own ignorance, and no longer is it the other way around, which I think is great.
One of the things I've noticed is that by many of those what are seen as credible in terms of their background or whatever are no longer fighting coming out of the space closet, as I call it.
Yeah.
And, you know, that to me, and one of them, you know, I write about Dr. Lena Olsen. She's a molecular biologist in Sweden. And she said, you know, I was worried about my colleagues. In fact, some of her colleagues struggle with that. But she got a real message from the mantis being saying, she said, is it time for me to talk now? She had this instant healing from an injury that she'd had many years. All mm-hmm. of a sudden it all clicked into place and it was, yes, you do. Now you mm-hmm. do it. No standing back and saying it's not part of me because it's not going to be okay here.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're doing it now. And the fascinating thing is, that she's not the only one. This is happening right across the board. So whether or not they want to cover it up or not, this is disclosure from the ground up. It's not waiting for governments. It's getting the average person, credible people are coming out and saying, this is my reality now. Mm-hmm. And that's before we even get to the kids who are talking about it. But yes.
I know there's a lot in Australia going on. When I was there, there's a good friend, Giles Campbell. He's a geneticist. Yeah. And he saw all kinds of ships and orbs and everything. And he turns on, looks at me, and goes, did you see it? And he said, yeah. And this green orb was right going right around his feet. It was hilarious. But he had a big awakening, and they were going public. And so it's happening out there. The Brendan Murray, the king of the Raven tribes, was talking about, I went and sat with him. And we're sitting there, and the ship comes right over us, right behind the trees, you know, cruises right by. Yeah. And I know Peter and Solrita Slattery there, they're having photographs of Pleiadians appearing in their living room, basically, and incredible footage of craft. And, you know, they're getting hammered right now. Hopefully they'll get through this, but they're getting hammered so hard by the UFO community, actually, trying to naysay everything. And it's undeniable. You look at this footage, you know, I spent 3 months with them over there. I had no doubt about their credibility, the highest credibility. I saw the ships myself. I saw the beings. I saw the wispy beings cruising through their house all the time and everything. You know, it's without a doubt. It's not debunkable. You know, the evidence is there. But, I'm just wondering, and I have a little thing up my sleeve I'm working on right now that we're going to put out, and hopefully we can get people like you and some of these other people that are for real, that really do have the footage. and want to take this to the next level and do some kind of a documentary. So that's on the books, but we'll get into that later. Now, what you're working with the kids, and that's what I really want to hear about. What are the kids saying about their contacts, and what are the stories that they're gleaning from their contacts?
Well, like you, I think that what's great with the kids is they don't color it. They've mm-hmm. not been front loaded.
Yeah.
And the parents will say to me, and I need to say this, is I haven't said anything. It obviously it's relevant to me because often it's intergenerational. So the parent, one or both, the parents having experiences and maybe granddad or grandma or whatever, but it doesn't necessarily filter down to the children at all. And the children will explain, even 3 and 4 years old. You know, I went with my special friends, and he came through the window, and I went with him through the window or through the wall or whatever, being taken up on spacecraft. One was saying I was taught to read a star map, mm-hmm. and then taken to a planet where she said, I learned to levitate.
Oh, nice.
And I learned to use my third eye, and they were showing me genetic engineering where they were working with different species.
Mm-hmm.
And these are little kids. Who knows of genetic engineering and DNA at that age?
Oh,
I certainly didn't.
Uh-huh.
And these are and another 7-year-old. This blew my socks off. His mother contacted me, and she said, with this 7-year-old, she said, he's telling me he's from the 9th dimension. And that he works with beings from all the dimensions, but the little grays he reckons can't go further than the 6th dimension,
mm-hmm.
and that he's creating a planet on the 7th dimension. Now, mm-hmm. talking in this kind of language, explaining what the planet he goes to is like, where his family is, you know, many of the experiences talk about that. They say, that's my real family. This is how the children talk. And then one of them say, well, I came from Orion. You know, mm-hmm. I was a light physicist. Again, what's this? I worked on time travel technology. I guess it's very primitive on this planet,
mm-hmm.
and what have you. Telling me that when he goes, he's gone to some of the sacred sites, he goes to them because he gets downloads about mm-hmm. that sacred site. And he's going to go to Egypt because he needs the download from Egypt, from the pyramids there.
Mm-hmm.
What kid of 9 talks like that unless something very real is going on?
I agree. Yeah, I've seen over and over. One time, I had all these kids on talking about the ships they saw here and everything else. And I had somebody come in and say, you scripted that whole thing. And I just said, are you serious? And then he kept attacking us. And I said, you know, well, thank you for establishing your character and your ignorance. Have a nice day. I mean, that's all I could say to the guy. I said, I'm not going to argue with you. I go, that was live. The kids that came up that were talking about what they experienced, that was straight from their own experience, their own memory of it, you know. So I said, you know, I've got a lot better things to do scripts. And I said, you ever seen a whole bunch of kids do a script? I mean, it's next to impossible. I mean, just getting them all together to do anything is next to impossible. But to all read the script perfectly, and they're just talking. They're not looking down at notes or anything else. And so no matter what you do, you're going to get that. You're going to get that kind of nonsense. But I just don't give it any time anymore. I'm sure you don't either.
Well, you get to a point where it really doesn't matter, because most of the time, the ones that are giving you a hard time, either they're just totally uninformed, or mm-hmm. what you're saying actually is triggering them so sufficiently they're scared.
Yeah.
And so they will actually give you a hard time because it scares them.
Mm-hmm.
So either is fine, you know, because the stuff is not really, they're not ready for this.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
There's a third category too. That's their job. You know?
Yeah. Oh, well,
they're getting paid.
Okay.
To do that,
well,
you know?
There is
so,
that. Yeah.
Yeah. And we get a lot of that too. Yeah. It's just like, are you serious?
I mean, one of the things I will say there, I was talking to a 16-year-old in Spain who says she's a hybrid and woke up as being a hybrid at 15, talked about the black helicopters at 6 years old monitoring her.
Mm-hmm.
She was aware of it then. She told me that they're aware of them from 6 months old.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, she said she got this strange message in her head some years ago about, you must go to America. You need to go and work for doing this, that, and the other. And she said, I knew it wasn't me.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely knew. I didn't want to go to America. I didn't want to do these things. She was absolutely aware that she was being targeted.
Oh, yeah.
And that's really important.
And they do have that ability. It's a computer-to-brain technology. And I've seen that as well. And unfortunately, a lot of people fall for it. You know, they tell them you're special, you're the chosen one. And some low-level contacts do that too. And and they get you all hooked in, and they pull you out of unity consciousness into the self-serving mode, and then they got you basically. And then, you know, I've seen that too with a lot of people. They go into spiritual ego, and then they go into narcissism, and they usually fall after that. You know, they start telling everybody to wear white and eat Twinkies and things like that.
You know, what I love is a beautiful little lad I talked to today was telling me a bit about his experiences and seeing Bigfoot, and we talked about one that visited him. And I said to me, and I can tell, he said, when people are telling the truth.
Oh, yeah.
So I said to him, so how do you know when someone's telling the truth? Or first of all, how do you know when someone's not telling you the truth? Mm-hmm. And he says, I just go all cold. And he says, and when he knows they're telling the truth, he says, I go all warm. He says, that's how I know they're telling me the truth. And that's a seven-year-old explaining his process, which I thought was brilliant.
Yeah, it's like you don't want to listen. It's when somebody's... That's what I get. You know, the BS meter goes up, and I go, I don't want to be here anymore. I want to be somewhere else where the energy is a little higher, you know, and not doing the ego thing. But I know there's a lot of different cases. Could you talk about some of the cases that, and there's probably some things you can talk about, some things you can't. I know.
I've written quite a lot, obviously, in my book about the younger children and what they experience. And they often call them special friends, which is interesting. They're not calling them nasty beings or anything like that. But one of the ones that for the conference that I'm going to be playing particularly is about a young 11-year-old boy from Australia. And his mother contacted me because she said when he plays the piano sometimes, it seems to be some being that comes in and helps him to play certain songs. And he says to her when he knows when this is going to happen. And he says, video this, mum, because it's important. And he also was visited by a being that wasn't so loving. And he said that two nights later, the loving being came and fixed him up from what had happened 2 days before.
Oh, yeah.
But when he sits at the piano, she says he doesn't even get tired when he normally does. And one of them I'm going to play at the conference is called Decoding DNA.
Oh, nice.
And that's the name he was given to say the song was. There's others that he was given the names for. And I was so fascinated by his story that I got in touch with another lady who is a musician experiencer who had exactly the same things happen in post-war Japan. Mm-hmm. She actually plays the violin and does art. And I got her to listen to this young man. We call him Arthur. Mm-hmm. And I said to her, what do you think of this music? Because she's a musician. And she said, it's genius. She said, I can feel it. And this is what I do. And some people say to me, oh, you just believe anything the kids say because it sounds interesting or whatever. I check out a lot of the stories to see if there's any way to validate anything to do with the children telling me that the moon's artificial, for example. Mm-hmm. And that one young man told me that when he was here before, they left something on the moon to activate consciousness. And he said, one of his 27 past lives or something was when he left it there. A lot of the children tell me that the moon is artificial. And now what do we get? We hear there's things on the moon. We hear that there's structures on the moon and what have you. And the same with Mars. Some of them have gone to Mars and seen the domes on Mars and explained that there are beings under the surface. This is the children explaining this.
Yeah, and the remote viewers have validated this as well.
Exactly.
Yeah, we had John Vivanco here. That was amazing. He did a remote viewing seminar. And for those of you who haven't experienced remote viewing, they just give a number and they assign a number to an event. And it blew my mind because all you've got is a number. And then you go through the process and then you start drawing it. And the next thing you know, the whole event is right in front of you. It blew me away. I knew I could see things and I had visions and stuff like that, but this was like there's a protocol involved in this and it was amazing. And people were drawing ETs and caverns in the mountain and technology and all that. Yeah. It was pretty, and things I know that's there, you know, but it was pretty amazing. Is there any other, kids that have, had experiences where they've given, you know, some kind of knowledge, like future knowledge about things happening in the future and things of that nature?
Certainly, they're first aware, a lot of them aware they've got a mission as well. They'll say, And one young 8-year-old was telling me that he communicates with animals because he is supposed to teach people how to understand animals and to be caring of them and loving of them. One young man told me he is an Arcturian ambassador, mm-hmm. an ecological engineer that's come here to help create more ecological habitat and whatever as well, and does all the symbols and whatever. Mm-hmm. But they're all aware that there's going to be a shift soon. Mm-hmm. And they give, you know, a range of, if you like, over the next few years. And many of them mention an event, a particularly mm-hmm. significant event. Some seem to have a better idea of what that event will be. Some talk about a new earth. But this 16-year-old said to me, it's not new, Mary. It's already there. It's waiting for us. We've mm-hmm. just got to move to where it is in that place in that dimension. It's already there, he said. So mm-hmm. it's not new in that way, but we will move to that place. And that sounds, actually was quite interesting.
Yeah. You know, I was talking, God, this was back in the 80s and early 80s, and Babaji was coming in, and he was talking about how there was going to be another earth, a whole nother earth, and there was going to be a shift, and some people were going to go there, and some people were going to stay on earth and go through the changes. And it ties into a lot of the Hopi prophecies. There's two lines, and the people that go into the spiritual and live in harmony with each other and the planet, they keep going. And the people that choose, you know, the misuse of technology and control and domination, that tyranny program, that one just goes down and ends, and it just is all kinds of chaos and it ends. But so I don't know exactly how this is. I don't know if it's another timeline, if it's a planet in the astral. I know when we do the Yigong exercises and things of that nature, we disappear. We actually phase out. So when we phase out, where do we go? You know, so it's not that hard to phase out and of this reality into another. It's much easier than people think. And so with this shift and the energy coming in on this shift, I think it would be very easy to fade. A lot of people get the gift of being able to do that, and they'll probably phase out and appear somewhere else or another timeline. Mm. You know, I'm not sure exactly how. I've got to get details on how that's going to work out. But when they talk about the event, I guess they say this is a huge wave of energy is going to come through, and all the bad guys are going to go away, I guess. And which would be nice, you know, but.
And Dr. Olson mentioned it like this, the low frequency people and the high frequency people, and we will choose. We'll make a choice whether we stay with the low frequency 3D mm-hmm. or the high frequency where we're ready then to ascend or move to a different place. You said, and that's what's happening now. We're making those choices on some level, our soul level. Are we going to stay with this and work through this, or are we actually ready now mm-hmm. to move to that other level? And that actually fits for me, because people are saying, how can all this change on this planet? You know, but there is a definite a difference between those that are getting it in the sense of getting the bigger picture, and the ones that are getting so drawn into the matrix of 3D and whatever. And it, you can see it almost separating out into the polarities.
Oh, yeah.
Can't you? So to me, that sort of, at the moment, makes sense to me anyway.
Yeah, and I've always felt it's a series of shifts, because I've seen these energy waves coming through, and they tell us when they're coming through. Yeah. And when they come through, everybody's stuff comes up. It's like, it's crazy. And we just went through one, and we're coming out of it right now. And I'm everybody, even my family, are calling me and saying, what is going on? You know, people in major businesses or their people are just quitting. They're flipping out. They're having emotional outbursts. And everybody's stuff is coming up, and all the old wounds and traumas and wrong conclusions from past experiences are all surfacing. Yeah. And you either deal with it and own it, or you block it out and you shift into ego or whatever. And I've seen some people actually surrender, and they surrender to the God within them, whatever, and they get the process oriented therapy or whatever they need to get through this. Mm. And they're doing well. And the people that are refusing to look at this and are just trying to do the control program are just getting hammered hard right now. They're not frequency specific to these waves of energy coming in. So it seems like a series or waves are coming in they're like culminating into a big shift. That's kind of what I think. What exactly happens in that shift, I got to do more research with, you know.
Well, I think it's an interesting one, but like you, I feel that It's each shift, each energy wave is just helping us adjust to that before we're adjusting now to the next one as it's coming in. It's slowly allowing us. Otherwise, I think it might be a bit heavy going for all of us, no matter what. So that's what it sort of feels like to me, is that, you know, a constant adjustment to that higher frequency. And more we're looking around the world saying, what are you doing? What's all this about? This is just crazy.
Oh, yeah. Let's get in. We're going to take a short break here, just a minute and a half or so. So stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Take control of your water with the new ProPure Whole House Filtration System. The ProPure Home removes chlorine and up to 220 plus additional contaminants with Pro Max Full Spectrum Filter Technology for truly great tasting, clean, and refreshing water. Order a ProPure Home today and receive a free pre-sediment filter, a $79.95 value. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com for details. Rethink what's in your water.
BBS Radio. .com.
All right, I believe we're back. And we've got I just got a little thing here. I'm going to ask Mary about it. She's got a few things going on here coming up in the very near future. So I'll let you go ahead and talk about some of the events that you've got coming up.
Well, of course, we've just done the Young Masters one, and we've still got some of those beautiful young souls here for another day. But what I am doing is in Portland on June the 26th at the new Renaissance Bookshop, I'm actually talking to parents for a number of hours with a PowerPoint on the new children, and also to educators in the early evening from 5 to 8. And also hypnotherapists who want to come along are very welcome to come along as well. And I'm running a course for hypnotherapists for 3 days from June the 28th to June the 30th. And that is here at Trout Lake itself. If you're interested, again, go to the East SETI site. And of course, James has already mentioned the conference.
Yeah, eastsetievents.com, and we have the amazing 4th of July conference. Mary's going to be here. We have a large Australian contingent coming. Peter Maxwell Slattery is going to show his footage, amazing footage of ships and beings appearing. And Sol Rita and Taraj is going to be there. And just a whole host. John Vanko is going to come back and join us. I don't have the list in front of me, but it's an amazing list. But go to eastsetievents.com if you want to find out more about that. So getting back, there's so much going on. The with this shift and with this wave of energy, have they said anything about the end? What's the end result of it? Does one group that's not frequency specific go on the old earth and finish out whatever their destiny is, and then the enlightened ones go to another timeline or another planet? Or
I'm not sure if it's another timeline or another planet, but the sense is that those that need to stay in 3D will be working out the things in 3D, where the rest of us will go to, who won't want to, or obviously on the soul contract, are actually going to this other frequency. Because we don't even know what that is. One little 7-year-old was saying that it was almost, she saw it almost like the and she said the pink ETs, she calls them as seven, the pink ETs that take us all up and put us somewhere else until things get sorted and then bring us back, was how she understood it. So you have to read between the lines when it's a 7-year-old trying to explain something so complex and whatever.
Well, I know a lot of that pink energy is that divine feminine energy. Mm. And I know Mary, When we use the PIP technology, Harold Oldfield stuff, when Mary came in the room, the whole room turned pink. You know, so I wonder if that's tied into that. It could be, or it could be something else. But it's all tied together. The religions, the ancient ancestors, if you do the research, everything goes back to the stars, basically. There's so many different directions I can go on this. Is there any other future things the kids are seeing, like shifts or changes or anything of that nature?
Well, what I'm hearing from them in the way that they understand themselves and their mission is really a guide to what they're actually going to be doing. Mm-hmm. And when I talk to this young man who talks about being an ecological engineer from Arcturus, an ambassador, as he understands himself, is that obviously he will have an understanding of how he will create these kinds of holistic, environmentally homes in harmony with the planet. So what I'm hearing from them is as their abilities and they get to understand their abilities, everything can be manifested, really. Mm-hmm. Our avatars were doing it.
Yeah.
And these are young avatars. Mm-hmm. And the main thing for me in terms of why I'm so passionate about it is providing the space for these children to allow their awareness and abilities to manifest in a way that they can do what they've come to do. That is everything from showing us how to be with nature, how to understand themselves. Mm-hmm. And each one of them seems to have some of them have advanced physics. Mm-hmm. One of the 16-year-old hybrid young lady, Marina, told me that she gets downloads of physics because she's going to be a physicist. Mm-hmm. But it's not going to be the physicist that we understand.
Yeah.
It's a whole new physics. Yeah. So we're talking about not necessarily high technology, but spiritual technology is probably a better word.
Mm-hmm.
And having an understanding of how it really works rather than what we're, the way that we are told our universe works, because they understand it from not only the origin of who we are, but how to manipulate matter. All these things they're taught on the craft, that I call space schools, where they learn everything from the true nature of reality, etc., but how to manifest. So I feel the event may provide the frequency that allows this to manifest and for them to be fully activated.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of us, I call the older models being, being upgraded as well. People often get the oldest generation saying, well, what about me? I said, oh, you're not going to be left out. Mm-hmm. You'll be just as switched on as the youngsters. I said, it's all there. It just needs that activation. And a lot of them are being activated right now. And there are many people out there that are doing this activation, including yourself.
Oh, yeah.
That are actually activating the dormant DNA. And then what one young man told me was, as those frequencies hit the dormant DNA of your extraterrestrial heritage, you will then start resonating to that heritage, whether it's Pleiadian, Orion, or whether it's Sirian or Arcturus, whatever it is. When you start to have that activated, that's when you say, I feel I'm from here, or I feel I'm from there. But ultimately, we've got the lot.
Yeah.
So ultimately, be able to manifest with all of that extraterrestrial input of knowledge and awareness that will all those abilities that they have will be part of our matrix too.
Yeah, and I know we all have that. We have something like 232 extra genes.
Yeah, 223.
And the extra genes that nobody knows where they came from. Everybody goes, well, it's junk DNA. And I go, it's not junk. It's just not active. And I've worked with people that have 9 PhDs, they're geneticists, and they said that, when these DNA lines open up, one of them is telepathy, one is being able to bilocate, one of them is being able to see into the future and into the past, all that stuff, that's all inherent within us when they open that up. And I've seen, too, that everybody's waiting for this big evasion, the big ETs to come and invade, and it already happened. It was the souls that incarnated here. Yeah. And people are awakening going, wait a second, there's more to this story than social consciousness and what I've been told. Mm-hmm. And that those memories and those abilities and that, living in very advanced civilizations is starting to trigger and come back to them. Mm-hmm. And I know the ETs are actually initiating that. They're kicking those memories back on for people in all walks of life. Mm-hmm. And I'm seeing that happen on a huge scale right now.
Absolutely. And one of the things that's come up recently, because we talk about the many ways you get triggered, and one of them is the walk-ins that have told me they've come in from different experiences. And there were two that recently were fairly significant. One was a lady that told me she walked into her female body from a cigar-shaped craft where she was 9 feet tall, blonde hair, blue eyes, telepathic, absorbed nutrients from her skin. Walking into a female 3-year-old body was really hard for her because she had to learn to talk and learn to eat. And recently, another walk-in, a beautiful lady with 4 kids, happened about 6 months ago, and she was supposed to die. She had an autoimmune disease. The doctor sent home to die. she was healed by the light beings, and she said, that soul vacated. I've come in from the 13th dimension.
Yeah.
And she said, I've come in, and we are coming to, so you can be desensitized to how we are through a human body. And that's how she speaks. So we're really getting into some really complex, deep stuff. And you can make of it what you like, but it was fascinating in the experiencer group, because right at the end, she said, I'll speak at the end, Mary, because I knew it was going to shake a few people up. And what was fascinating, though, is there were quite a few that were really drawn to hearing more. And I thought, well, this is pretty out there, you know, guys.
Yeah.
But with her, you just needed to hear her. Mm-hmm. And you thought, my goodness.
Yeah, we've been contacting these beings from the 13th dimension lately. They call themselves Lakah. And I said, do you have a name? He said, that is our name. Mm-hmm. They just say,
and it's a we.
Yeah,
it?
We're the Lakah. That's a collective. Yeah. And they said, we're here to back up, you know, in the big planetary lifting and awakening healing process. But, you know, amazing information. I always say, you know, people talk about walk-ins. I think I was shoved in, you know. And right before that, I said, are you serious? You know, and then, no, I just kidding. But, you know, I don't know. It's, you know, when I had the near-death experience and after I came back, I started, what was I thinking, you know?
There's a few like that.
Yeah. But it's amazing the younger generations, they remember. And you know what else is really sad, I think, is that they don't have, at Contact in the Desert, everybody is asking me about that. Well, do you have a place for the children? You know, nobody's giving these children a place, you know? And I said, yeah, we have the Young Masters Workshop coming up, you know, bring your kids there. And we're doing that here more and more. And it'd be nice to have a place for these kids. And even, you know, I have another 30 acres on the other end. I'd like to do a, like an ESETI school, like a Waldorf type of school or something like that, but really get the higher dimensional stuff going on there and support them. And that's something's in the works as soon as the funding's come in. But the, there's so many different things that I'd like to see happen, but right now the resources aren't there and the support, you know, because our work, we're doing this cutting edge stuff out there and people aren't catching up yet. But I think as soon as they catch up, they'll start supporting it. But there's all these mothers out there and fathers that have these kids and the school's trying to, you know, shoot them up with drugs and Ritalin and all this other nonsense and shut them down. And they're huge beings in these little bodies and they've got all this energy and you just got to direct it, you know, find a way to direct the energy and listen to them, you know, listen to what they're saying. But I'm really hoping that things start moving quickly in that direction so they don't get absorbed, you know, by the system and taught all the false, you know, the false physics, the false chemistry, the false, all that.
But they know anyway.
The false narrative, yeah.
They know. I mean, I had a 12-year-old explain really clearly that when she's in the classroom and the teacher's saying things that aren't correct, her little friend, her special friend stands there and says, don't listen to that.
Yeah.
That's actually not accurate. This is what you need to know. So the teacher, obviously, I said, do you ever talk to your friends about that? She said, oh, no, I don't tell them. But this is the kind of thing that's going on. So there is that awareness by, you know, the family that are saying we're going to have to protect these kids. But not only that, a lot of the teachers now, there's many of them that are starseeds, including midwives I've met that say I'm a starseed. I'm birthing the new starseeds. And the teacher's saying, I can see them in the room. I know which ones are who. I can see by their energy. And we're already communicating. Uh-huh. And I have teachers contacting me from
that's
all over
great.
The place
saying
this. And my thing has been more as much as possible connecting people and saying, well, I know a PhD educator here who knows exactly what you're talking about. She's talking about a new curriculum. Let me connect you. And it may be from New Zealand and it could be South America or whatever. But they're recognizing them that because a lot of starseeds are in the educational system, just like they are in nursing and seeing the things that are wrong with the medical profession or whatever. Mm-hmm. So there is these wonderful programs that are being put there. So it's not like we're all trying to do it all on our own. There's a wonderful a network of programs that are going on that are helping us do what we've come here to do, I think, anyway.
Yeah, it does seem to be coming forward. It's a mass awakening right now, and it's happening fast. And, you know, they've been telling me things were going to happen, and they told me stuff that I didn't understand at the time. But now that it's unfolding, I go, that's what they're talking about. Yeah. You know, because I didn't have any reference points to understand what they're saying. But, you know, like one example, I've talked about this before, the Q, the big QAnon phenomenon.
Yes.
you know, the Pleiadians kept telling me, you know, we're working with the leaders, you know, we're working with a lot of these leaders, and we're all, trust me, there's not going to be any World War III. And they said, they're all working together. They're working with the higher dimensional beings to end the draconian law, the draconian grid that's been here for so long, and the tyrants, you know, putting into that and bring in the higher dimensional stuff and the fifth dimensional consciousness. But it's really interesting watching this happen. And then, you know, they tell me stuff like Q, and I go, Q. So, yeah, so this, the Q is this omnipresent being on Star Trek, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what I was thinking, like, okay, so this Q is going to come and fix everything. Okay, I'm good for that. And then I found out it's the other Q, you know, but it is, things are getting fixed. And there's a lot of people trying to distract and shut that down and say it's fake and everything else. But, you know, you got to drop in your heart and feel what's right. And, you know, this whole MSM, CNN network, all these guys, you know, these star kids watching this thing right away, they go, they're lying. You know,
it's exactly.
Yeah. They're not being brainwashed by it and they're not fooling anybody. And I'm surprised that anybody even listens to these guys anymore because where's your inner sensitivity? As soon as they start talking, they start lying and they create these diatribes and all these things. And you're going, this person is a professional liar. They have no character. They have no moral compass, and it's just unbelievable. And I said, why do these guys even get airtime? You know, why don't they just pull the plug on them? You know, but I think they are going to have the plug pulled on them here pretty quick because they serve no purposeful good. Mm. You know, they're definitely not helping humanity out in any way other than keep the separation game going. You know, it's getting old that. You know, I had at Contact in the Desert, there's one guy there that was screaming and yelling. He was saying, you know, the Clintons were in, you know, we'd have contact right now. We'd have disclosure and everything else. And I go, are you freaking serious? I go, who are you and why are you on this panel? You know, and you know, I saw things like that going on. And I'm just going, this is so ridiculous. And everybody knows who that group is. They know the Illuminati. They know who they are. They know. And people that are bragging about their connections with these guys are, they're the ones that are in charge of the disclosure movement. And you're just going, you're not going to disclose anything. You know, that's not the game. You know, you're here to keep everything in the past, keep it within the military, and you're not going to talk about the spiritually and technologically advanced beings that are here. And that's the big picture. And they keep avoiding that. I've never seen anything like it.
Well, they stay in the nuts and bolts where that makes it it's safe. And it also means we stay in that paradigm. Mm-hmm. We don't realize that there's been this whole shift in consciousness that's happening through the contacts. Mm-hmm. And that this is really where it is now. It isn't there anymore. And one of the things, you know, you brought up, you know, the part of the free, what we did have done there is through these 4,000 odd individuals that have done the 600 questions and the surveys, which has been wonderful. What we're finding is that 85% of them wouldn't change anything and that they've been completely changed and transformed through their experiences. That is not what you get on mainstream.
No.
And this is academic surveys with all the protocols needed. And this is the stuff that's telling us the truth, because that you can't fudge that.
Yeah. I know all the polls out there, this poll, that poll. I just go, who's paying for it? You know, and who are they asking? You know, so, but I think the people, my theory is that most people are good. The vast majority of people are good. They just want to feed their families. You know, they want the heat on, you know, and a lot of them want to have their own personal connection with source, whatever that may be. And that's the vast majority of them. And then you've got this control grid at the top, and that is just run amok and creating all the separation games and the wars and diseases and all that stuff. Those the war and disease profiteers, and those guys are just puppets for even a darker force. But we won't go there. But it's even more than that. But the good news is there's a much lighter force coming in, and it's a bigger force. It's more powerful, extreme technology beyond our wildest dreams, and that's pressing in right now. So if you're not frequency specific to the Earth, and that's what this energy is bringing in, you're not going to be here much longer. And I tell people that, you know, it's time to break your contracts. It's trying to cut those cords with anything negative and start working in service to humanity and the earth and working in harmony. And if you don't, you won't.
Yes.
You won't be here. And it's not a threat. It's just a reality. You can't stop this. It's way beyond our ability or any human ability to stop this. It's like the source itself is saying, kids, we're going to the next level. Yeah. You know, either get on the bus or not, you know, but the bus is moving and doors are open. So
yeah, absolutely.
Time to jump on it. We've got just a few minutes left, so I wondered if there's anything you wanted to cover or any of the upcoming events you've got going on or places you want people to tune in for more information.
Well, of course, everything that I'm doing, and it's a real pleasure to be here for the next 3 weeks and have a chance to, you know, have a bit of downtime with you and be out there saying hi to the family and whatever. I'm looking forward to that very much. And everyone that's coming. It's going to be an absolute pleasure to meet everyone. I know Joan's coming over from Hawaii as well, and she's a really good mate.
She's great.
I stayed with her and swam with dolphins with her as well, and she's a wonderful speaker, such an amazing lady.
Yeah.
And I know you've got some incredible people. So that's going to be really good for me, just to meet them all and also have a chance to meet all the people that love to come here because they speak my language and hopefully I speak their language. So I'm really looking forward to more of that with you. Mm-hmm. But I am going to England in late August, and I'm going to do a course in Glastonbury, and I'm speaking in Hull and Blackpool and also Birmingham and Watford and also Austria and Italy. So there's a bit going on there. But the main thing I want to do this year really is to see if I can get more information out there around the children and the support for the children. Mm-hmm. So any of those educators out there and parents that are looking for how to help the children, because they say to me, what can I do? How can I help them? And I said, the first thing is love them. And the next thing is listen to them.
Yeah.
And if you do that, you can't go far wrong.
No, exactly.
Because they'll tell you what they need. So more than anything, if I want to say anything tonight, it's that's how you help these new beautiful souls.
Yeah, we've had campfires and medicine wheels with a talking stick, you know, going around.
Mm.
And what I found out, we were kind of talking about earlier, is that a lot of these workshops are the kids have already figured it out as the parents. and when you give the kid the talking stick, you go, oh, God, why did I forget? I forgot what was really important. And we see that happen a lot, you know, with people. And I think that is important. I think when we came in, we knew what was going on. We had all those abilities. When I was a kid, I could sense people's energy. I was telepathic. I felt, you know, I had contact going on. I had people talking to me and all that stuff. And then it gets knocked out of you through social consciousness and the school system and everything.
Mm.
And the near-death experience activated that again. But I mean, we had everything. I think we all had everything as a kid. We just, and it goes back not to go biblical, but Jesus said that you'll never enter heaven until you become one of these, the little children, which is go back to innocence and awe, being open and, accept your divine sacred senses or your abilities, you know, which we've seemed to have forgotten. Looks like we've got 1 minute left. So, any closing remarks before we sign off?
My closing remark is please come and support James and his wonderful Iseti because it's a brilliant place to be and we are going to have such a ball. So please come.
Thank you so much. And definitely go to isetievents.com, check it out. We've got the Soul Tech Gathering. We have our own conference, the big conference coming up. Great lineup of speakers. And every year we have massive ships come over the ranch. And so bring your cameras and you'll be able to get your own footage. And if you've got some night vision, bring that too. But just the last couple of days, we've had the doors open up on the mountain, the ships going overhead, big ships. So things are really ramping up. So if you want to see for yourself and have your own experience, definitely come and check out the events at isetti.com. So anyway, we're signing off. Stay in the heart. Keep an open mind, loving heart, pure intentions. That's all you need. And, a little shout out to our higher dimensional friends and thank them for all the help they've been giving us and tell them you might want to hook up sometimes. So anyway, have a great evening. Good night.
Good night.